number three, and how we get through this. This would be the red book, lesson number three, if you'll do those. How many of you have got all 10 names on your cards? How many of you have forgotten about your cards? If you would, think about those cards, write down. It doesn't take long to put names down. It really doesn't. All you think about is like the couple next door, that's two names. The couple on the other side, that's two names. A couple from work, that's two. That's six names already out of 10. It doesn't take long to get 10 names on there. If you would, write those names down. I get an email from Rob every single week. Hey, can you send us a progress report? I've even been told, hey, I saw y'all's report on House to House. It's great. It was great reading about the Natalia Church. So he posted on House to House page. He wants a report. Send me pictures of people filling out their cards or holding up their cards or having Bible studies or baptisms or whatever. I have nothing to send them. So we put out a lot of money on this to try to get in the spirit of evangelism. We can do this. This is not something that we're like, yeah, that's somebody else's deal. We can do it. I promise you. The biggest step is getting that first study. And once you do the first study, you'll have a second one. Once you do the second one, you'll have a third one. Once you get through these studies, you'll realize, man, this is something great. I could have done this years ago. That's what happened to me. Everybody that I've ever gotten started doing the studies, they tell me the same thing. By this point, when you get to lesson three, like I said, I try to put 2 days in between each lesson, minimum, maximum a week. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. No, I can't do it. I can't do it in 3 days. I'm going to be leaving day after tomorrow. Can we do it tomorrow? Yeah, we can. Sometimes it's like, nope, something came up. So I had one guy that something kept coming up. We do a study. I took a whole year before we got to the third study, and we never finished the third study, and then he moved. It's just one of those things. It was worth the shot. It was worth the try. Still, think about this. When one of those happens, the seed was planted. We never know. Somebody else may water it. At this point, you need to know they still believe they are saved. No matter what their background check is, or their history is, unless they told you right now, I don't believe I'm saved from the start, at this point, they still believe that they are saved. We're going to go through the same thing. Please read the scripture aloud, then we will answer the questions under the scripture. So I'll ask the person, could you read that scripture out loud? And then I'll ask the question. And so once they read the scripture, ask the question, pay close attention, follow along with them, open your Bibles. I have mine. I have a Bible. I have a Bible that I use specifically for my studies. This Bible, every one of those questions or every one of those verses, I get it highlighted. Just the number, I have it highlighted in pink. If I had a pink highlighter, I'd sit through the study. So I know that they're reading the right verse, because a lot of times it's 2 Peter instead of 3 Peter or 1 John instead of the book of John. So we'll see some of that. So ask them to read those out loud. You get to this one. It says Isaiah 59:2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that it will not hear. The question is, you're blank. Have hid his face from you. Sins. Automatically, we understand that. We know that. And we see a chasm there. Sin is a chasm that divides man from God or separates man from God and keeps us away from God. A lot of people don't believe that they've been separated from God, but your sins will separate you from God. First John 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. See how easy these questions are? What sin is? Transgression of the law. Okay, so I've never had anybody that did not understand that. They get it. James 1, 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Man is tempted when he drawn away of his own lust. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The other studies we have has sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It has a third part to that question in the To Know the Love of Christ series. And we have those too. You can use those. If you don't want to use these, they'll work. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, doeth and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If one knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. Have you ever failed to do what you knew was right? Everybody says yes. Everybody knows, yeah, we fail. We're human, right? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? None. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All. Does this include you? Yes, everyone gets that one right also. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. This one, I always think they're going to get it wrong, but they don't. How many sins must one commit to be separated from God eternally? One. That's the answer. One. You don't have to continue in sin. We understand that. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Remember this morning in our Bible class, we looked at that verse from Acts. Galatians was not exhaustive. There are other verses. This is one of those other verses. Will the unrighteous inherit the kingdom of God? No. Okay, so we understand the unrighteous. And we look at those. A lot of people will look at that and they say they may be involved in some of those sins. And so they see that's I'm not going to be able to go to heaven if I keep in this path. Matthew 13, 40 through 42. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. At the end of the world, sinners will be what? Burned. He has it circled, makes it real easy. In your study, those aren't circled, so they won't be able to just grab that. So sometimes they may have to look back over the study and read the verse again. Don't ever get impatient with them. They want to read that verse again. Read it again, read it again. I've had one person read it three times. They'd read it once, and then they'd say, let me read that again. They'd read it the second time. I'd ask the question, and then they'd say, well, I got to read it again to get my answer. Three times. It was a long study, but it was fruitful. It was a good study. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Is God just? Yes, God is just. What is just? Fair. We understand that. If a judge refused to sentence convicted criminals, would he be just or righteous? No. If he refused to sentence, does righteousness demand that a judge sentence convicted criminals? Yes. Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Is there respect of persons with God? That's hard. Look, that's how simple those questions are. No. Some people may not understand. What does that mean? They may ask you the question, what does that mean? Remember I said we don't answer questions, we divert, right? We will get to that later. A question like that, you can explain. If they don't understand the meaning of a word, you can explain the meaning of the word. Because it does you no good to go further if they don't understand where they're at this point as far as, I don't know what that word means. Respect of persons, does that mean, does he play favorites? Does God play favorites? No, God does not play favorites. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? Will God render to every man according to his works? Yes. What does that mean? Whatever you do, you'll pay for, right? Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The dead were judged according to their works. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They'll understand that. Is your name written in the book of life? No, they know that, they get that. Even if they believe that, some of them may say, well, I believe it is, I hope it is, I'd like to think it is. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is it God's will that you be lost eternally? Is that what God wants? No. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did Jesus die for sinners? Yes. Was the death of Jesus on the cross an act of God's love for us? Yes. If you remember, how many sins must one commit? One. Christ died for sinners. Okay, so this ties together even from lesson two. Have we all sinned? Yes, we've all sinned. Does that include you? Yes, even in the earlier question. So they kind of tie together and bring you to that. That's why they call this a comprehensive study. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Can we be justified by the blood of Jesus? Yes. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Is Jesus the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him? Yes. Will you be saved if you do not obey Jesus? No. Okay, so we look at this question right here. These are foundational questions that are important, because remember the very first part of this lesson said they at this point still believe they're saved. Okay? Obedience. They're gonna see some things if they haven't already seen them up to this point that they have not obeyed. There are some commands that the Lord commands that they have not obeyed. And so they see that they have not obeyed. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Will Jesus save all of those that call upon his name? No. Here's a problem, because a lot of people believe that the answer to that is yes. Then they just read that verse, so they answer no. They get it. Were these believers lost? Yes. According to verse 21, what must one do to go to heaven? The will of the Father. Okay, so it's a matter of doing the will of the Father, and if the Father says you have to do something, you need to do it. So that again, we're putting this together. It's a comprehensive study. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The condition stated here is what? Belief. Belief. John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Will you be saved if you do not believe in Jesus? No. Most people at this point, they believe in Jesus. There's some other studies, and we have copies of those. If you have someone that doesn't believe in God, atheist, we have studies to get through before you do these studies. And they're very good. I've been looking at them. They're really interesting. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What is the condition stated here? Repentance. We need to repent. There's another condition of salvation. So we've looked at two conditions of salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Is merely saying, being sorry for your sins, the repentance God demands? No. Does repentance demand the sinner turn from his sins? Yes. There's a little bit of a word confusion here in this passage. In the King James, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, some of the translations will say, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So they may stumble on that, especially if there's people that study their Bible a lot and they already know their Bible. What does that mean? They may ask you that question. It just means not to be regretted. I tell you nay, but if except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Will you be saved if you do not repent? No. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The condition stated here is confession. So we're seeing these conditions to salvation, and we saw that obedience is necessary. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Will you be saved if you do not confess Jesus? No. Confession again. Necessary. 1 Peter 3:21, like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, or to Godward, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The condition stated here is baptism. The next condition. John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Will you be saved if you are not baptized? The answer is no. You will not be saved if you are not baptized. You will spend an eternity in hell. That's a scary thought. People see that and they understand that when they get to this portion. So they're mulling over that. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is saved, he who believes is saved and then baptized. Or he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Which one is it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned or shall be damned. Jesus said we must blank and be blank. Believe and be baptized to be saved. A lot of people see that. They've been taught the other way around all their lives. You're saved and then you're baptized. Structural analysis of Mark 16:16. He that eats and digests shall be saved. He that eats not shall be condemned. Is that logical? Yeah? Does that mean that digestion is not necessary? That's what the point they're trying to make here. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. I use an illustration of a key in the door. Somebody, whoever puts a key in the door and turns it shall enter in. He who puts the key in, who does not put the key in, does not enter in. Does that mean that the turning is not necessary? Because what they're trying to say is baptism is not necessary because he that believes, they say belief is the only thing necessary. Acts 2:38. Does that make sense? Everybody, yeah. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The inspired preacher told these believers to blank and be blank. Repent and be baptized. Repentance and baptism are for remission of sins. That's a very, very important part right there. It's not some outward expression. It's not just some ritual that we go through. It is for the remission of sins. That's important. Very, very important, because we have to remember there's a passage in Matthew that says that Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins. Exact same words in the Greek. So either Jesus died for nothing or he died for the remission of sins. So those two, they have to mean the same thing. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized, that "and" joins the two together. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those black pages there are for us. They're not in the study. So that's for us so we can get an understanding of this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is one of the best things I ever learned about having Bible studies with people, what we're fixing to see here. All spiritual blessings are all spiritual blessings in Christ. Yes. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, are there any spiritual blessings outside of Christ? Logically speaking, no. Christ, all spiritual blessings. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Is salvation in Christ? Yes, salvation is in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We see these two. Is it your understanding that one must be in Christ to be saved? Yes, they will not miss that question. They understand that. They will get that. Are you in Christ? Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ. Romans 6:1-5, buried with him by baptism. Faith, grace, salvation, forgiveness, all spiritual blessings, truth, a new creature, and die blessed in Christ. Those are the passages. Again, the black pages are not there. They're there for us. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How does one get into Christ? Baptism. Baptism. That's very, very important to understand that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Excuse me. Is there more? Excuse me. Is there more than one valid baptism in God's will? No. Okay, this is twofold. This is twofold because we see this. What would be a more than one baptism? Sprinkling, pouring, immersion. There's, right? There's only one valid baptism. But also, when someone says, well, I was baptized when I was 14. Was your baptism valid? That's the question we have to understand. Was your baptism valid? Because if you were baptized for the wrong reasons and for the wrong thing, then it was not a valid baptism. Since God accepts only one baptism, must we be careful to be sure we are baptized the way that God says? Yes. Acts 8:36-38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Did Philip baptize the eunuch in water? Yes. Where are we going with this? Did both Philip and the eunuch go down into the water? Yes. Would it have been necessary for both Philip and the eunuch to go down into the water, sprinkling or pouring, were the one baptism that God commands? Absolutely not. They could have just reached their hand in there and done it. So we see from necessary inference that the only reason they would have gone down into the water is if the one baptism that the Bible commands is immersion. Would it have been necessary for both Philip and the eunuch to go down into the water if immersion were the one baptism God commanded? Yeah, they would have had to go down. He couldn't immerse him without going down in the water, both of them going down into the water. So the answer is yes. 1 Peter 3:21, like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the one baptism, must there be an answering of a good conscience toward God? Yes. Can a baby conscientiously accept baptism as a command of God? No. Ask them if you don't believe them. Romans 6, I'll say that. Some people say yes. So ask them. Just ask the baby if he needs to be baptized. See what he says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Does the Bible describe the one baptism as a burial in water? Yes. God's condition for salvation, a person must know they are lost. We don't baptize saved people. Why that went that way? Okay. Does the Bible describe the one baptism of burial? Yes. Where do we get the benefits of the death of Jesus in baptism? People get that. They get that answer. It's a kind of a tough one when you look at it. When you look at this chart, it'll show you that. Okay, so the gospel, that's based on that verse that we just read. The gospel just reenacted. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He resurrected. And we follow that reenactment by we're dead to sin, we're buried in water, we're resurrected into newness of life. That passage just explained that. And this picture was drawn up based on that passage that was there. So therefore, does the Bible describe the one baptism as a burial in water? Yes. Where do we go to get the benefits of the death of Jesus? Baptism. Okay, so that's where it takes you. That if you're baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? No. If you're not baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? Yes. Some people will tell you at this point, I was baptized the way the Bible says. They will believe that. They will believe that they were baptized the way the Bible says. If you'll remember the first study, there was some preliminary questions to the first study that we had them answer. Why were you baptized? When were you baptized? Were you baptized? If you were baptized, when were you saved? Before or after baptism? I was saved before baptism. Sometimes they'll answer all the questions correctly. We have to understand what does baptism do? Baptism adds you to the church. Baptism adds you to the kingdom. We say that and people say, yeah, I don't see where the Bible says that. I'm telling you, every study I've ever had, when they get to the point of baptism, they understand that they're fixing to be added to the church. I had a couple that Brittany studied with, a young couple, a brother and sister, and she said she had been baptized 5 different places. And he had followed suit. Do you want to take the chance on missing heaven? No one does, no. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Okay, so we're getting close to where we're getting a prompt to be baptism. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you want to take the chance of missing heaven? As we have seen, Jesus commands repentance. Are you willing to start making the changes in your life that Jesus commands and live for God? Yes. Okay, so these are questions. We're not seeing a verse here. We're just asking questions. We're getting some questions. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins? Yes. If you were taught that you had remission of sins before baptism, could you have been baptized for the remission of sins? No. Okay, so we have this person that's been baptized, and they said, yeah, I was baptized when I was 15. Okay, and when were you saved? I was saved 3 months later. Or I was saved and I was baptized 3 months later. So they believe that they were saved before they were baptized. If you were saved before you were baptized, then was that baptism for the remission of sins? Not if you were saved before. If you believed you were saved before, then you were baptized. You thought you were baptized for the right reason, but you were not. If you were taught that you were saved before baptism, could you have been baptized to be saved? No. Since God describes the one baptism as a burial in water, could you have been scripturally baptized if water was sprinkled or poured on you? Okay, you cannot be taught the wrong thing and obey the right thing. Obedience is not an accident. I did the right thing. I was baptized right, but I was taught wrong. Okay, so we take that into consideration. No, the answer is no on that one. Have you been baptized? Yes, no, unsure. How old were you when you were baptized? How old were you when you were baptized? Circle the word that describes your baptism, sprinkling, pouring, immersion. If you've been baptized, were you saved before or after baptism? If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? Yes, no, unsure. These are from the preliminary questions. When am I saved? Option 1, when I call on the name of the Lord, sins are forgiven, saved, then baptism. Option number 2, baptized, Sins are washed away, saved. Now you can call on the name of the Lord. Number two, right, exactly. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we really love Jesus, will we want to obey him? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. Do you want to obey him? Yes. Since Jesus wants you to be baptized, and now that you understand the importance of being baptized right now, wouldn't it please Jesus for you to be baptized right now? Those, are, again, are not circled in your study, but you'll see that now brings forth. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Jesus is Savior of what? The body. Ephesians 1:22-23, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is also called the body, right? There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. How many bodies are there? One. Do you want to be in the church or the body that Jesus has promised to save? Yes, we want to be in that. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit. How does one get into the Lord's church? Baptism. Do you want Jesus to add you to his church? Yes. When? Now. Now. I've had people say now. Say, okay, let's go. And they're like, no, let's finish the study. So they really want to finish the study. Well, they understand. They answer the question, yeah, now. I want to be added now. Well, then let's finish the study. Okay, you want to finish the study. We'll finish. Don't get afraid or don't. This is not working. We should have been baptized. You may get all the way through the end of the study and they'll answer all those questions. Yes, I want to be baptized. Yes, I want to be added to the church. Yes, I want to obey the gospel. No, we're not going to do it now. You just bear with them. Be patient. Be patient. Sometimes it takes some time for these things to simmer. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you know for certain you will be alive tomorrow? No. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? No. They'll say, I'm not sure. They may be unsure. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Yes. Okay, I said there are some people, I've had people go through the third study. They're still waiting for their baptism. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Long time. Do you know that you'll go to heaven right now? No, I will not. I had one that took about 5 months after the last study, 6 months after the last study. And he finally, he was talking to me about, just on an everyday conversation, I ran into him one day in town, and we were talking, and he said something religious. I said, you know, that's not right. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you know, that's not right. And I didn't have to say anything else. He goes, no, I know, you're right. You taught me right. He came in and was baptized right after that conversation. So he had put it off. He put it in the back of his mind, out of sight, out of mind. Don't give up on these people. Don't just say, okay, I had this third study. I did my obligation. He can burn in hell now for all I can. It's not my problem. Don't do that. Let's continue to stay in contact with him. For he saith, I, 2 Corinthians 6:2, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the accepted time? Now. When is the day of salvation? Now. Has God promised you another day to make things right with him? No. When should you be baptized into Christ? Now. Are you ready to be baptized right now? A lot of times they'll say yes. Okay, let's do this. They may still divert and say, let's finish the study, or you want to really... Most of the time you'll see this amazing look in their face. Yeah, I want to do this right now. I want to do this. I don't want to wait another day. Amazing feeling. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Will those in hell be tormented forever and ever? Yes. Will they ever have any rest? No. Do you want to suffer with them forever and ever in that awful place? No. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in God's book of life? Yes. Do you want God to write your name in his book of life? Yes. What must you do to have your name recorded in God's book of life? Obey. Do you want him to write it? Do you want him to write it there right now? Yes. Yes. Then let's do it. If they say yes, you don't have to finish these study. You don't have to finish that third study. If these questions are prompts, I think the studies that still have it. In the older studies, there was an asterisk by these questions. If you understand that salvation, that you're lost without being baptized, wouldn't it be good to be baptized right now? And it has an asterisk there. And they answer yes. Then you say, you want to go be baptized? We can baptize you right now. Okay, let's do it. And they'll go do it. So those are prompts for you to end the study. So you don't have to go all the way to the last study, because these questions are going to get more and more to the point. Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus said that if we are not with him, we are against him. This means that we are either on the Lord's side or Satan's side. This means that we are either helping the cause of Jesus or we are helping the cause of Satan. On which side do you want your name written on? Jesus, yeah. And Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Will Jesus save those? Jesus will save those who will obey him. See the asterisk there on the next question? Are you ready to obey Jesus' command to be baptized? They say yes, we're walking to the baptistry. We're going to say, let's go. Hebrews 5:9, or driving if you have your study at home. I had a lot of studies here at the church building, so we walked over. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Must we obey Jesus to be saved eternally? Yes. Will you obey him? Yes. They will say yes, and they've already turned down three opportunities to be baptized, or three prompts to be baptized. Revelation 20, chapter 10, verse 10b. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Must we follow Jesus faithfully to be saved eternally? Yes. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Must we put God first in our lives? Yes. Will you promise to put God first in your life? Yes. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Must Christians be faithful in attendance? Yes. Will you be faithful in attending the service of the Lord's church? Yes. After you're baptized into Christ, where do you plan to worship? Now, we got to see, we got to understand, because sometimes there's a lot of information that we just put together, and they may not put two and two together that I was just baptized into the Lord's church. Okay, so as we go through the study, we get to the end of the study, where are we now? We need to be baptized. Once that person is baptized, we cannot give up. I know that these back to the Bible lessons, they don't have a follow-up study the way that the to know the love of Christ is. And I think Daniel's been working with the new converts and the young people downstairs. He's got a new converts class on Wednesday, and they go through those studies. Most of you have been, a lot of you have been through those with me. Study number 4 or 5, it goes all the way to 17. Very, very good studies, because what happens is a lot of times you get to a person this time, after you're baptized, where do you plan to worship? Church of Christ in Italia. Okay, great, we're baptized. And then they miss the next week. Oh, I was sick. And then they miss another week. Oh, my wife was home or was out of town. I had to stay home with the kids. And then they come another Sunday. And then you don't see them for 3 or 4 weeks. And then they'll come once. And then you won't see them for 3 or 4 months. And they'll come once. And then you don't see them ever again. And what happened? We need to stay on. We need to make sure, because this is a lot of information to digest. If I were to ask anyone in here, can you give me, even those taking notes, what we went over just now? What did we do? How did this lesson play out? And how did it start and how did it end? Even I've done these many, many times, and I couldn't sit down and write out lesson 3 or lesson 2 or lesson 1, because it's a lot of information to take in. And so you think about somebody who's been steeped in denominationalism for the last 10, 15, 20, 40 years, 50 years. Sometimes I look at studies like, I want to put this person on my list of 10, but he's never going to obey. We got to lose that mentality. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If he's a Methodist preacher, if he's a Baptist preacher, if he's a Catholic priest, don't give up on him. The Word of God can change the lives of men, and they can obey the gospel. They can understand. They're truly sincere to the Word of God. They will understand. That's our lesson for tonight. Thank you for your patience, and we'll see where we go from this one to the next, what the next study is.
Let's all stand.